I should add in the beginning that we did receive an ARC of this book.
We should
And
add that,
that is what we
yeah,
read.
probably.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
Today, we have a special episode for all the Murderbot Diaries fans out there because we're talking about the newest installment in the series, System Collapse. But before we dive into Murderbot, let me introduce the rest of the group. Today, we have Chesky & Co.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Chesky and Delilah. And Huron Fan.
Hi.
And Kiptan.
Heyo.
Hey, hey, indeed. For this episode, the first part is spoiler-free, and we'll give a spoiler warning before we dive into the spoilers. Okay, so, just the series overview real quick. The Murderbot Diary started off with the novella, All Systems Red. Since then, Martha Wells has released a new installment pretty regularly, mostly novellas, but we did get a full-length novel called Network Effect in 2020. Speaking of Network Effect, the new full-length novel, System Collapse, picks up right after the ending of Network Effect. All right, so for this part of the episode, we're just going to talk about general thoughts. Did you like it? How is the series holding up? Because this is, what, the seventh installment in the series. And I want to know, did it meet your expectations? Would you recommend it to Murderbot fans? How about Kiptan? Do you want to start?
Would I recommend it to Murderbot fans? Yes. Would I necessarily recommend it to anyone else? Absolutely not. Because it's the seventh book in a series. And if you're not, if you haven't read the rest of those, I don't know what you're doing.
Telemetry is not a terrible starting point.
That's true. But it's more like like that excerpt.
Yeah. It's also part of why I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, you would want to have like the background of why is Murderbot the way they are. Yeah.
Well, I recently reread it, and a lot of the beginning of the book is a lot of that catch up readers who don't actually know. At least that's what it felt like, and I was kind of annoyed by it.
It does read a bit like a soft entry, and I was also kind of.
But we're not talking about Fugitive Telemetry. We're talking about System Collapse, okay?
We're not.
Kiptan says he would recommend it to Murderbot fans. Cool. Did it meet your expectations?
My expectation was that it was going to be substantially better than Network Effect, because I felt like Network Effect had some teething issues adapting to the full novel length, and it didn't really do that for me. I thought that the descriptions were not her strongest suit in any of her works, in my opinion. And I thought there was too many of them. They weren't super necessary, and they didn't necessarily go anywhere a lot
overall
of the time.
Overall enjoyment of the book?
Is really weird, because the parts about Murderbot that I love are still there. The snappy dialogue, the character work. There was even some unprecedented expansion of side characters, which was fun. Was you know, a good time. And a bit of growth for Wells in this space. But I really was held back by what felt like filler in a lot of the paragraphs.
Okay. So overall, would you say like the series is declining? Like, have we already gone past the peak, or do you think there's still potential?
I think there's still potential. I don't think it's impossible for her to learn, but I definitely wouldn't call it in decline. But I would say that Murderbot is not working as well in novels as it did in novellas.
Huron? No, this is marketed.
No, it's a 220 page novel,
which we can talk about as well, because I have thoughts about that.
How many words is it? That's what I want to know. So, like, I think these delineations are based on a word count, yeah?
Generally,
so,
yes.
I mean, if it technically is a novel, then I guess I'm fine with it. Yeah, it didn't feel like a novel to me. This is actually my favorite Murderbot book. It had what I want to read in a Murderbot book, which is Murderbot being awesome, and Murderbot being fragile, and Murderbot interacting with its friends. And it's dynamic with the friends and its asides to I don't know who. That's part of why I liked it so much, because I think more than any other book in the series, it was calling attention to the, I don't want to say frame narrative, but like the narrative itself. And I think it was a lot more complex and made me think a lot more about who Murderbot is talking to and what the diaries itself they are. And it was funny. It was exciting. It was human.
Nice. Chesky, what are your thoughts? Because we've got a, you know, not so positive review and a pretty positive review so far.
I feel like I'm pretty middle of the road on this one. Sometimes I felt like it was trying to be a novella, but then it was novel length. It makes it sound bad, but it's not bad. I just felt like sometimes it was just a little, this was a novella story in a novel form.
Mm.
Right? So she took a novella story and then she just expanded it and made it better and made it different. I liked most of it. There wasn't a lot I didn't like. I didn't really like the parts at first. Well, that might be a spoiler. I don't know.
It's fine.
I didn't like part of the writing tone in the beginning, where it feels more like a writing diary versus what I've been reading previously, where it was just a more stream of consciousness thoughts in my mind. Right?
I also wasn't a fan of that narrative device. Right.
But okay. I really liked Murderbot, the character in this one. I mean, obviously, I liked him the whole time. But I felt like he had some nice growth and some change, especially near the end. And then I liked the new characters. And just, I liked it overall. But I felt like it was more middling packed than like top of the list or bottom. So
okay.
For reference, what are your top and bottom
of Murderbot? I don't know. Probably... I have to say All Systems Red is up at the top. I don't know which one would be my worst. Probably like what, 3 or 4, just because they're very novella, right? Not much happens in 3. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be 3. Rogue Protocol. It's good, but it's not like, it's fine, right? It's a murder ball book, so it's fine. Yeah.
It's no artificial condition. Rogue
Protocol is your least favorite. That's what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Got it. Well, I'm also a little bit more in between, but leaning more towards positive. I think there were definitely times reading through this, more so like at the beginning, where it was a little difficult, like getting back in to the style of the writing and the narrative. But I mean, really, where this series shines is the dialogue and the interactions between characters. And to me, that was not disappointing. I was not disappointed by that. And like, I already knew that, you know, the visual descriptions are not Martha Wells's strong suit. So I wasn't really bothered by that. I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. There are vehicles and there are like hallways and there are these things, you know. What I would really love is if they included schematics. I think that would help a bit. But, you know, whether or not it would actually make sense, I don't know.
So you're advocating for a map in the front of the book.
Yes.
They're not complicated schematics, though. Like, out of all the things that are described that we are able to tell, like, what things are going on and like the actual described layouts of these spaces.
Yeah.
They're super simple layouts.
But it's just like, you know, relative of like where one point is to the other, you know?
It would be like
not.
A line.
No.
It would be very close to a line.
I would recommend this to Murderbot fans. Like, if you're already like drinking the Kool-Aid, you're gonna enjoy this, especially the buildup of the tension and then the resolution. Like, that's where she doesn't disappoint. She doesn't disappoint in the resolution of the conflicts, I think. Okay. Any other general thoughts, spoiler free?
This book makes me realize that I really should be using a multivariate rating system, because I do think this book is lopsided in its skills and I need a way to easily reflect that. So Copile has moved.
I was just about to suggest that to you, Kipton. It's very effective.
Because I really don't know if I should give this book like a 3 or a 4. I think the clunkiness brings it down to a 3, but the general Murderbot dialogue brings it up to a 4 easily. So I don't know.
So we are moving into spoilers. So this is a spoiler warning. All right. Mm-hmm. I think the most interesting thing to talk about for this book is themes. And I'm curious, like, what specific themes you guys picked out from this particular installment, because this is a culmination of all the stories that came before it. So Chesky, do you want to go first? What theme stood out to you?
I guess one of the themes, or kind of the things I was picking out of it, is the role of communication and the different ways it is, right? You had the Altabot, or not, it's the Aelbot 2, right? The second colony ship, and it's responding in all these different ways to communicate. And then he finally picks one and he goes with it. But then at the same time, it's talking about corporate speak and how the corporate entities, you know, have their propaganda sales pitch, and how Murderbot's team has their propaganda sales pitch. You know, we don't want you to be corporate slaves, which is, you know, what they would be, but like, to somebody on the outside, they're like, well, this guy says it's going to be, you know, sunshine and daisies, and you're telling me it's going to be death and destruction. Like, and just the way, you know, then the sources, you know, having your sources for your papers or your interview. And like, I like that. This, the themes of like how to communicate with people. Even Murderbot's kind of like, oh, I'm having a tough time actually talking to people, and I'm still in shock. And like, people are covering for him and just being like, hey, let Murderbot get to it. He'll get to it. You know, he said he's working on it. He's working on it. Kind of. I like that a lot.
Nice. Yeah, communication plays a huge role in this story. Kieran, what theme stood out to you?
Well, Chesky took my mind, but that was excellently put, Chesky. In every single Murderbot book, and this is what resonates with me the most, is the power of narrative. In All System Red, we get the feeling that Murderbot is growing as a person through its consuming of media. And it's learning how to be a better person. It's learning how to interact with others. And like, it also interacts with other people, other bots, other constructs, other humans, through their love of like media, their narratives. And that's always been something out through there. Like when they awoke 3 from its governor module, that Murderbot just sent out a bunch of media and like, oh, well, I really related to because of this media that you shared. And the same with the it and murder and art, but in this one made their own art, and that's how they got through to the colonists that they were trying to interact with. They created their own narrative and they told a story, and that's how, like, that's what books do, and that's why it's one of my favorite book things that art can't explore.
Yeah, I think this one is pretty meta. Like, from the beginning of the series, you see this growth and transition of like Murderbot being just an order taker to then getting their freedom and having to figure out, what do I want? Now that I'm not taking orders from anybody, I get to, you know, come up with the orders for myself. What do I want to do? And then we see it explore like, oh, I'm not just doing things for myself. Now I have people that I care about, right? And now I'm taking them into consideration when I make decisions. And then this one was particular with the trauma that it went through in Network Effect and how it needed to process it and figure out, like, because I think its confidence was shook, right? Like, I used to be so good at just killing and making these decisions without even blinking an eye. But now it's like questioning itself and it's lost that confidence. And then throughout this book, you see it build its confidence back up. But not just by itself. The characters around Murderbot supporting it to build its confidence back up. And then being able to take something that 2.0 did, where, you know, compiling Murderbot's story, giving it to 3 and seeing that impact, and Murderbot learning from that. It's like, okay, maybe I am worth something. Like, I can, my story can matter. And taking that further. So, yeah, the whole narrative part is well done, in my opinion. Yeah.
Can I make one disagreement? I thought the trauma that Murderbot was dealing with in this book was largely the fake trauma that was implanted.
It came
memory,
from
right.
It not came from.
Oh, you're yes. talking about from the alien contamination. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I viewed it as another marker of Murderbot's growth and recovery beyond its pre-programmed and often wiped limits, and its re-establishment of the ability to have PTSD. That it was suffering from trauma in the same way that a human would suffer from trauma by confabulating memories and having some mixed up signals and having flashbacks, which degrade its operational performance and put it out of commission.
And I have a question follow up to that in just a moment. But Kip, what about you? What other themes did you pick out and you want to discuss?
I think there's the theme of Murderbot no longer being a single purpose sec unit, but instead growing creativity, and possibly we're going to see the development of Murderbot, the entertainment director.
You think so?
No, it's clearly foreshadowed that he's going to go be a therapist to all the other sec units when he gets them out.
I mean, it's clearly foreshadowed that this is like how we are going to get the Murderbot diaries.
Okay, I did have a question, a different question that I wanted to ask, which was like, any predictions on where the series is going, you think? And so I do.
I think that counts.
I'm on your train, Kip. I do think that is where it's going. Yeah, because these are the diaries, right? Like, where is it coming from? And who is it talking to? Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I hate that Redacted stopped in the middle of the narrative.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. I was a little confused by that.
The Redacted just didn't work for me because I was like, I don't know. It just didn't work. I was like, okay, it's something hidden. And then it was just, okay, you had an incident where you restarted and nearly died. But
that's part of why I really like this. And this one, more, like I said earlier, more than the other was, it was a lot more aware that there's an audience that the Murderbot talking to, right? It sometimes directly and talks to the audience with like a you, or gives an imperative like you're probably wondering why this is happening, or sometimes it even talks to itself in the own narrative.
And that's been happening since the start.
It is, but it's
it felt more pronounced in this one.
And then we have the redacted parts, which Murderbot literally talks about later on. But if this was edited after the fact, why take out the redacted part anyway? And then I think there was one part in the story where it's like, I should mark this part for deletion, but it didn't actually delete it because we're seeing it, right?
Yeah, but I do that.
I think that was more just his stream of consciousness saying like, this is not really important. But then later on, he's like, when he does edit, he's like, okay, I'm going to keep it because it actually does matter. And I would just read it as almost like his insecurity at having this issue until he gets past it, you know? And so it's like, okay, well, I want to allude to the fact that something happened without saying it. And then after that, he could be like, okay, now I've resolved it in my mind. Like, I can just talk about it going forward. You know, kind of as like he was insecure about it happening, so he's hiding it. But I don't know. That's what I got.
But if we're looking at this as a full narrative, especially in this book, what effect does it have, like, talking about redacted, still referring to it after the fact as the redacted part, even though we explained as to it what it was redacted?
It's weird because I actually like the mark this part for deletion bits, but I don't like the redacted bits.
I think calling using redacted even after you've explained it just is a shield almost. You don't have to think about it. You just have to think, oh, it's redacted, right? You know what it is, but unless you really like actively think about it, it's just it's kind of another layer you have to go past.
Wait, did it actually keep referring to it as redacted after it explained it? I didn't think so. I thought we
it's
moved past
like,
it.
It didn't refer to it as redacted. It referred to as the incident or as that thing from earlier. Yeah,
I would have preferred like an incomprehensible acronym, and then
just
eventually
like when
we get the
Peter
explanation.
Messes up and spits out a stream of information.
I mean, the redacted bit didn't bother me. It intrigued me. If anything, it piqued my interest in like, oh, what is this? And I had like guesses as to what it was, but it was obviously not quite correct because we didn't know about the false memory. To me, it's almost like, because these are the diaries, like it could be that this is the more raw format of the story. And then in the end, what happens is, you know, there's a much more polished version. Or maybe they're like, you know what? It's authentic. It's the, let's just keep it raw. But it was more to me, I read it as Murderbot wasn't ready to confront that incident. And so it was mostly redacting it for itself. It's just like, it kind of blacked out, you know, about that. It knows it happened, but it didn't want to talk about it yet.
Like, actually acknowledge it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Murderbot's thought processes are tied to its operational capacity.
I agree that it's really interesting. It kept me engaged, and I thought it made the narrative and the frame device more apparent and drawing attention to itself, which I'd love. But redacted implies that it was edited after the fact and taken out, right? So originally stuff was there.
I read it as like just him saying redacted. It would be like me saying, like, I'm going to go read redacted, where I'm pre-redacting it for you. I mean, maybe that's just the wrong word choice then, but that's how I read it, was a, like, I read it as like, that's what he's physically saying redacted instead of the thing and then editing it and redacting it.
To me, it was more of...
I think if you have to think of it as a wrong word choice...
Like, it thought it, but then it quickly pivoted away and wanted to forget it. So to me, it worked because I understood, like, okay, you know what you're talking about, but you don't want to actually like really talk about it. So wipe it.
Yeah. For me, it absolutely worked. I don't accept that interpretation. I think this had to have been edited after.
I mean, when you have a thought, like, and then you're like, no, I don't want to think about that right now. Right.
If you want to go meta, I guess you just have to, you'd have to just wonder
how much authenticity is left in a stream of consciousness narrative if it's heavily edited afterwards.
Is this written?
Have you lost the point
in the moment?
I mean,
and the only thing I would,
I think that's something you also have to consider
is how much I don't think Martha Wells is. I mean, she's obviously writing it as if he's repeating it to somebody, but I don't know how much she's delved into. Is it being edited after the fact, or am I just writing it as his stream of consciousness, and that's kind of what's going on the page? And you know what I mean, like, because she might not be thinking about it as deeply as you're thinking about it.
That Wells doesn't.
Oh, she's come on, Martha Wells. She's the one that, of it that deeply.
Of course she's thinking about that.
I don't think she's not thinking about it. I'm saying maybe she's just writing it as a stream of consciousness with like simpler answers than, well, he pre-recorded it and then he re-went back and edited it. That's all I was saying, is maybe we're overcomplicating how she was writing it or how she was feeling about it when she wrote it.
Let me ask this. So, like, if you were reading it, instead of reading the word redacted and it was just a black bar, or, like, it just, like, empty space, would it have the same effect? Or would you still have this, oh, did somebody edit this after?
If it was a black bar, absolutely. If it was just empty space, depends on how
See,
much
here's the thing. I think...
I've already told you my preferred method is an acronym.
Sure, acronym. But I think, like, honestly, I think we're overanalyzing this a little bit. I think the point is there was something there, but Murderbot wasn't ready to actually acknowledge it. And the way that Martha Wells chose to convey that to the reader is through this redacted device. Whether or not it's the correct one will vary from reader to reader, but I don't think that it's anything about like, oh, somebody is overly like going back to edit all of this stuff. I don't think that's the point or message he's trying to get across.
I agree with you, Panda.
Well, earlier Kip said that he thinks that the end of the series is going to be like Murderbot turns into an entertainment director and it's telling its stories. I really like that interpretation for like how we have these stories and why we have these stories. And so looking at it from that way, I really hope that's how it ends, actually. And I don't know, I'm waiting for these answers that I hope Martha Wells gives us, and like the frame narrative
and
what these
stories
are. I think
the Murderbot diaries are, they're part of his, they talked about Rati and Arata want him to go work on a trauma recovery program for other free sec units. So that's where I went, was that he's resistant to it at first, right? But I'm going to say he for Murderbot because in my mind he's a he, I'm sorry. I know it's an it, but... But he's always resistant to an idea. Go ahead. That's I'm glad you do, right? Like,
I'll keep going with.
I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm trying. Okay. But Murderbot is always resistant to whatever is presented to him first. Or to it first, right? He says, I don't want to do that. And then it ends up doing that. I don't like this idea. Yes. I'm going to do this idea. Right. And so he's like, it's like, I don't like this trauma recovery program for free sec units. I think it's going to go, it's going to eventually end up doing that. And that's what these murder bot diaries are, is it's journeys, you know, after it free governed itself and how it copes with that.
Yeah.
I want it to be an artistic director that is also doing a robo revolution, but I think Murderbot can do two things.
One thing.
I don't think these things are mutually exclusive either.
Murderbot could definitely have
done this is the future. You can itself, have two jobs. Right?
So.
Mensa is a scientist and a planetary coordinator. It's
writing is, for many writers, a therapeutic exercise.
Yeah, sure, that's, I don't disagree.
Until they can make it and not their day job. If they want to.
Yep. Yeah.
Unless you're very lucky.
Okay, to talk about the conflicts in this story, what did you think of the conflicts, and what would you consider like the main conflicts? Kip, you want to go first?
Oof, main conflicts. Main conflicts is, as always, Murderbot rejecting their humanity and refusing to believe that their meat parts come with more than just some image recognition algorithms. And there's an acknowledgement in this book that if it wasn't for those meat parts, then Murderbot would have previously died due to the fragmentation in possibly network effect, but also in exit strategy. So I'd call that the main conflict. And then we also have the other ever-present main conflict of the Corporation Rim versus anyone with ethics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The forced conscription of indentured serfs. And the fact that you can't testify against your contract.
And you get a bonus, though, if you bring them in, right?
Well, this time.
I'm sure there's always a bonus in there for somebody when somebody gets brought in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just not for the whole team. You don't want to spend bonus money on more people than you have to.
Heron?
I think with Murderbot books, the main conflict is almost always the internal conflict of Murderbot, whatever it's going through. And this one, it's, you know, dealing with the trauma of Redacted. And secondary, I think, is the, what was the name of the company?
It's called B.E.
Estros?
Yeah.
B.E. Estranza. Estranza.
Trying to, you know, take these people off the planet and put them into, you know, I like that part too. This one, I think more than the other ones.
A viable colony setting.
It was cool. I really liked the world building they did there with the Corporation Rim. And I think this more than the other ones felt more cyberpunky.
Mm.
Again, I know this is like something that cyberpunk explores a lot, but I thought that the corporations felt a lot more cyberpunky in this book.
You know what? I will say that there was more mention of grit and dust in this one. So that's my cyberpunk.
That is your requirement for cyberpunk,
especially the talks between the corporation and the good guys, and just all the espionage and all of the backstabbing and immorality going on there.
Yeah, we did get more like humanization of this corporation in this one versus them just being kind of this stereotype villain.
I didn't feel like we got more humanization. We just got more involved with them. They became more real and more present than there's a corporation out there that will kill you and put you in slavery. But it's out there, and now it's actually here.
Felt like with Leonide, or whatever her name is.
But that's humanizing a person, not a corporation. She's one person.
No, but
in
it's
that group.
Like it's more of showing the individual, right? Within the corporation rather than it's just a corporation.
Yeah, in the other books, it was just, you know, some idea of, like, these big evil corporations. You find out what they do. We don't know anybody of them. We just know that they're attacking the good guys or they're enslaving the constructs or whatever. And this one, like, we see real people. Leonide, she's awful, but, you know, we get to see real people and put a face to the corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get closer to their emotions. What about
she's a good character.
Teske, anything
still wasn't super close.
No, I don't think anything there was to really add. Just the conflicting, you know, how do you present your information? Is it more optimistic, more realistic, more pessimistic? This the final, felt like the real conflict was the whole BE versus the colonists, their decision. Are they going to choose BE or are they going to choose the university? And then the rest was kind of just a filler conflict to that conflict, or sub-conflict to that conflict.
I think that was back burner conflict at best.
It's fine.
And supposedly, yes, it's the main plot, but the main plot is always a back plot in a Murderbot novel.
Agree.
Except for Exit Strategy.
Yeah. Well, even for Network Effect,
maybe
though.
Fugitive Telemetry. It also might explain why I didn't like Fugitive Telemetry as much. I think Fugitive Telemetry, more than the other ones, was more plot focused on, like, you know, this whodunit and kind of the
it was yeah
CSI
yeah, it was
type.
Boring.
Sorry, you have boring taste, Kipton.
I thought it was a nice, more exploration of the world.
I liked it.
Yeah,
I was hurt by reading it after Network Effect.
That was okay. I think, a mistake, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We did say this one does pick up right after Network Effect. So if you read Network Effect and you went directly to System Collapse, that's totally fine. You don't have to read Fugitive Telemetry before reading this. In fact, I think what we said before was we would recommend reading Fugitive Telemetry before Network Effect.
Yeah.
I think we said it's one, two, three, four, six, five, seven.
Yeah.
Yes. So far, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so far.
Okay, so we kind of covered this already with, like, you know, favorite parts, least favorite parts. What did you want more or less of? Does anybody else have anything to add to that?
Did we talk about favorite parts? I really liked all the talk about the hatches.
Circle hatches versus
square hatches.
Yeah. Over 80%
really
correlation.
It's the columns and the symmetry of the columns. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the depth perception.
Should you really be wasting processing power on that?
Yes. Exactly. That was it. That was great.
I want to know more about Art's drone.
The art drone?
Art's drone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was art, but like it kind of was reabsorbed later by art, and still they're like, well, it was kind of sad.
I was more than a little nervous about art drone.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? So I think this
I thought I was going to go full Suicide Bomber.
Mm-hmm. I think this was a really good example of how, like, even though quote unquote death is not final, it's still impactful. Like with Iris, her emotions of, like, even though she knows that it is art, right? And it's coming back to art. But there was that moment of, like, wait, did they complete the upload in time? Right, before it's, art zone complete shutdown.
It's the only version of art that has made a documentary film.
Yeah. That we know of.
That you know of.
No, I think period.
I don't know. Art has a lot of things that we don't know about.
No, yeah. I mean,
I also love the part where Holistic, the other ship that's like art.
Oh,
Holism.
Holism.
Yeah. Holism.
Holism.
Yeah, Holism.
Art just hates it so much. And
I don't hate people. I just have very discerning company.
And we're given all these tiny little examples of how Holism.
That was so funny. Let me see if
Holism
I can
answered half a second
session.
Earlier with a slightly more detailed number.
Yeah, this was mostly reflected at a passive aggressive competition to see who could use the most annoyingly correct comm protocol.
I have to admit, okay, so I read Ancillary Justice like way before I read any Murderbot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were some parts of it in Ancillary Justice that reminds me of Murderbot, but the part that I really enjoyed was the ending of Ancillary Justice, if you have read it and know what that is.
Yeah.
I just think that because Murderbot is a lot more of it. I haven't read the sequels of the Ancillary Justice series, so I don't know.
They're not as good.
Okay. So I think the Murderbot series just does it better with what do you even call these? AI bot
liberation.
Communication. Well, the communication, right? The banter and just like the, the relationships that they have.
Well, I'm looking forward to you reading Accession.
Yeah.
I this is what I am here for, okay, for the culture series. This is what I'm expecting, and I want okay. more of it.
Awesome. I really liked in this murder bot that he was able to free two other sec units. And then he, you know, one of them does the same thing he did, where he's like, I'm going to just pretend like I'm not hacked, and I'm going to keep doing the same thing I'm doing. Like, you guys can get away. And, you know, and it's just like, it's the start. So, you know, how many more sec units is that sec unit going to go free eventually? Or is this one? Or, you know, it's just, it's really opening up that direction, right? Like, other free yeah. sec units, where Murderbot was the only one we know about.
Right. I really love
Murderbot's waffling on lethal force throughout this whole book was actually really interesting. And one yeah. of Murderbot's defining character traits.
Yes, I agree. I think overall, yeah, so my other question was going to be, like, do you see Murderbot becoming more, like, leaning towards more of the human side of it? And, like,
yes,
it's struggling to, like, reconcile that it is more human than it was it was just under the governor module.
Patently.
Especially for, you know, how much it detested humans, right, in book yep. one. And now it's like, oh, no.
And now it's like, I know this is true, but I don't want to admit it, so I'm just going to say this to Art.
Yeah, but Art knows it already.
Yeah. And I think Murderbot's going to go through that trauma protocol eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Maybe that'll be the next book, Trauma Protocol.
I hope not.
I don't know what I want to happen.
That should happen off screen, and there should be something similar to the redacted bits in this.
I would
where it's just a continual running gag of reference to, oh, Art brought that up in therapy last week.
That would be great, but I would also, I would not mind like a short story, right? Like a short story
sure,
of
sure.
a session.
Absolutely. Not going to fight that.
Here, you
wouldn't want
something?
A whole book.
Yeah, not a whole
oh,
book.
Oh, I don't know if I want Murderbot to become more human. There's somebody, I think there are a lot of stories like that, like, you know, Pinocchio or whatever. And so it wouldn't
I don't
be
want
novel.
Murderbot to be, sorry, Heron.
Like you said, leaning more into its humanity, right?
More into, but definitely not going all the way.
I don't think it would ever go all the way.
I think it'd be cool if it lent more into its bot personality or lean more into that instead of a human. Because Art,
I think you can do both at the same
I think
time.
Art's a lot more interesting.
I think you can
aren't
do both
these
at the
mutually
same
exclusive
time.
Positions?
No, I don't. I think that Murderbot's human faculties can improve at the same time as its robotic capacities.
But inside the question itself was an explicit like assumption that the construct
to lean
part
one way or the other
are yeah exactly. So if these things are pulling apart at each other, like sure the
I think that what right
better.
Now Murderbot is doing is denying many of its human attributes and capacities, and that denial is not necessarily in service to its robotic abilities or capacities, but is just an instinctual defense mechanism,
okay.
and it's a maladaptive coping mechanism. So Murderbot,
is it doing this any more than a regular human?
Yeah,
I would think so, because he explicitly hates it, or it explicitly hates it.
Because Murderbot does things like deny that its brain could be causing any abnormalities or problems that are affecting it. And we've gone from, like, way back when, where Murderbot was insisting that it was only used for image recognition, which was the company line that it was sold. And that was what was on its sales brochure. And it's been moving away from that position this whole time and coming to a more realistic acceptance of a holistic approach and appraisal of its cyborg or construct nature.
I think that was really well put.
Yeah.
What we're seeing in this one is, I think at the end, right, especially with the creation of the, what do we want to call it?
The movie?
Documentary?
Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, it's one of the things
edutainment.
That... Edutainment, sure. One of the things that it really emphasized was you can present all of this data, right? But if you're not telling a good story with it, it's not going to work for what they wanted to do. And the storytelling part is what it's associating with more of its human side, right? That's why it kept saying, I needed the humans to help me with this, to tell the story. If it were just using its bot side, it would just be feeding all of this data, right? Here's this long list of articles and artifacts, et cetera. And that wouldn't have worked as well. So I think in the next installment, if it's like a continuation of this present storyline, then we would see a more, as Kip said, like a holistic entity.
Murderbot was able to leverage its capacity for emotional expression into a mission-critical environment.
Yeah.
And it was able to do so in a way that art would not have been capable of, because art does not understand emotional nuance, and it made that point repeatedly.
Yes, it did.
But art is still learning how to, right? Like, that's why
it's writing it's writing a patch.
But art's not human at all. Art's just a bot.
Yep.
So like,
I think it's just going to be a lot tougher for art to figure it out eventually without the human parts helping.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance. Yeah.
Art's able to emulate. Art is not necessarily able to have an authentic human experience at this point in time.
Yeah.
Not able to have human emotive capacity as a hardwired capacity.
Yeah. There's actually a really interesting discussion we could have about all the AI-generated content that is happening in our present reality.
I saw that parallel.
But you know what? We're not going to go there. So
maybe someday.
Anybody else want to add favorite parts or least favorite parts?
Least favorite parts was any sequence of descriptions of the tunnels.
I got a little tired of Murderbot complaining about Murderbot 2.0. 2.0 could have done that better. 2.0 could have done this better. Like, that's a totally realistic thing. No, it's a totally human and realistic thing. Like, oh, this person could do it better. That person could do this better. It grated on me a little bit where it's like, no, Murderbot, you're capable. You did it. You're basically 2.0. You can do it. Like,
I wanted you to feel.
Well, and that's So it's like, it's not bad. It's just I didn't enjoy listening to Murderbot complain about itself. In the
Perrin would know what to do.
Yeah.
Perrin's great with women.
Oh dear.
Rand is so good with women, and so is Perrin. I'm just the only one who doesn't with understand.
We have now devolved into Wheel of Time references, in case people didn't pick up on that. Okay. I guess, Kip, you had this question of, did you expect it to pick up where it did?
I definitely did not.
I did not know where we were going. So, no.
I thought it would start at the very end of Network Effect.
You
I
did?
I didn't expect it to be on the planet, but this is where I expected the book to be.
I expected it to be post-Network Effect, but I thought it would be just a brand new story. I mean, it could be the same story in a different planet, right? That's kind of what I was expecting, was Network Effect was its book, System Collapse is its book,
I was expecting something like an Attack on Preservation.
Okay.
But there's always next book, Kip.
There is always next book, because many facades have fallen during this book.
Okay, before we go, we kind of touched on this. This is being marketed as a full-length novel. I don't feel good about that.
I don't feel good about it either.
I think it's barely considered a full-length novel, and it could be a novella.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I think it's a novella posing as a novel.
Yeah, I mean, it is a quick read.
If it and Network Effect had been put together as one book, I'd be more than happy to call that a novel.
Yeah, well, it's and more edited, you mean?
Yeah, and significantly more edited.
Right. So put them together and then split them apart, but in a different way that they're split apart right now. Is that what you're saying, Kipton? Like, so at the end, you end with two books still? Like,
I'm saying maybe you wouldn't need so many descriptions of places that don't do anything.
I did enjoy... I felt like, I did enjoy the Ada Co 2 machine bot, and how like it was you know, like helping them, giving them camera access to cameras, and also not, it's just like it was a very dynamic experience. So
yeah, the friendliness of the bots that Murderbot runs into is surprising to me a little
bit. Were you gonna say suspicious? Don't lie, Kipton. Were you gonna say suspicious?
I was going to say at odds with the rest of the Corporation Rim that we've seen so far. But this is pre-Corporation Rim, so well, 40 years before.
Is the system that? I thought it was just the landing.
40 years before.
Oh, okay. I also really liked them explaining how Art grew up. That was really fun, really interesting.
I think I missed that.
I think I missed that too.
Where he like literally grew up with Iris. Like,
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. I guess I had it felt it stronger than you guys did, apparently. You guys are both like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
No, it's not that it doesn't matter. It was just like, I thought you were talking about like a more backstory than
I thought it just implied a lot of his backstory there, I guess. See. So or its backstory, guys.
Yeah.
Could we talk about the novella thing? I don't really have a strong feeling either way. I don't think it really matters, but why does it bother you?
You know what does matter? The price tag.
The price tag does matter.
And System Collapse print price list is $21.99.
I think the thing that would matter more to me is just setting reader expectations. And this book just felt like more like a novella idea than a novel idea to me.
What's the difference?
I would just say scope, I guess. I mean, this one, like Network Effect is a pretty big scope to me. You know, there's this virus that transmits from human to machine to human. It's corrupting everything. This one is, there's a colony, there's a half of a colony that's at stake.
This one was a rerun of Rogue Protocol.
It just felt, the story just felt smaller to me. And then to expand it to novel size, it just felt like it needed more help versus like Network Effect on its own was like a big story, it felt like. I can't really say anything other than feels, because or vibes, right? That's what it is. It's just this one felt more like a novella story. Like, oh, we have to go to the top of the planet. We have to rescue the colonists and bring them back down because this planet is still potentially dangerous, you know? And then it was like, okay, but what if I, instead of making it a novella, made it just 20% larger? We add in the corporation. We add in, because you could have done it without the corporation. The colonists don't want to leave. They're comfortable. They're happy. The system does not like you guys intruding. They still have to upload the entertainment to get the colonists to choose to, you know, move on. So that's my thought, I guess.
Okay. I need to think about this. I disagree. I think the book is much better for having the Corporation Rim, though.
I'm not saying it shouldn't have the Corporation Rim. I'm just saying you could take it out and still have it function as a story. You'd have to change other things. That's like, that would be the novella form versus the novel form, potentially. I'm not a writer, and I do not ascribe to be one. Don't at me, please.
I think it's mostly the expectation. Like, I did, you know, once you think of full-length novel, I did expect there to be bigger scope, a bit more depth. There is depth, but it's... to me, it was like, okay, not that different from Exit Strategy in terms of like what I got out of it. So yeah. I think it's just a marketing thing.
Not that different from Rogue Protocol in my mind. It's another thing near a terraforming facility with corporations that backstab.
But at least no combat units this time.
That's true. Yeah. I will say one of the things that I think Martha Wells does really well is the building of that tension and this sudden like abruptness of events changing. So it's you know, whether it's like Murderbot saying like da 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 da, oh, and then, you know, something, a twist happens, or like the when they're trying to escape from the two sec units in the hangar, that whole sequence, I was so like nervous probably because I was also reading it in the dark on my Kindle. But like, I really felt that tension. So I really enjoyed that.
Did you like the tension of the golf cart?
Yes, actually, because
that was pretty, that was good. Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness, you understand, right? It's like, it does make the reader think a little bit.
And oh, I had,
I had
one more thought.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There was one other thing I didn't like as much. I didn't know if it was just because we had the arc issue or if it was just the weird formatting. I would have loved like one more line break between when he's in the past, or when Hortobart's in the past reminiscing about something or going through something, and then it immediately switches back to the present. Sometimes I was a little jumbled where I was like, okay, I was in the past and we're going over this, and then there's a sentence or two or three and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this is actually the present time he's thinking this thought, when it kind of fit in with the past thought or vice versa, right? And like I said, very minor, but like just like one more line break would have
formatting.
Yeah, I mean, that's like minor thing. And maybe it was just my reader or my reading it, you know, was bad that time, so.
You're talking about your favorite part, Panda, reminded me of my favorite scene, which I just didn't mention earlier for some reason. I love the scene when Murderbot is talking with Leonide, and Leonide is setting up all of these ideas into the mind of the colonists, and then halfway through, they're like, oh, shit. And yeah, they had to react to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Realizing what is actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gave me a little bit of flashback to when they first learned about the second colony, and they're like, well, there's actually this other secret colony that went off, and she quickly, and Martha Wells quickly jumps between like every character collectively face palming themselves over and over and over again.
No, we have to rewrite the fake thing that
yeah, the fake character. All right.
Yeah.
We ready to wrap up?
I'm good, yeah.
Cool. Well, that has been our discussion about System Collapse, the newest installment in the Murderbot Diaries by Martha Wells. And thank you, Huron Fan, Kipton, and Chesky, for joining me in this discussion. Honestly, it's fun to talk about Murderbot. Like, it's fun to read it, but it's also really fun to just geek out with other readers about it. So thank you. And if anybody is curious and hasn't listened to our previous Murderbot episodes, they'll be linked in the description of this episode. And with that, until next time, bye.
Bye.
See ya.